We continue in our dissertation. Take out your handout manual. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Say it again, the matrix. What we are dealing with this morning and have been and will be is our look into time. Our focus into manifestations. Let's open it, and I want to go through a couple of our definitions this morning. As before, actualization is the realness of that which is produced, that which is survivable. That is in the sphere of eternality, what actually is. Manifestations are the outward perceptions of things that we see, that we encounter as we go through life. Each day, as we go through life, the things that we encounter, the things that we see in depictions, the things that are sequenced in testimonials before us. Some things we see them correctly. Other things we absolutely don't see and don't understand. Conception. That's when a thing begins and how it begins. The decree is the command. In the case of God, his decree is what actualized have brought everything into existence. It's in the same, not the seeing. Entropy. Everybody say entropy. That's the systems of consistent disorder that we see in time, that we observe. Some might say, well, that's just life. Well, there's a purpose. There's methodology and there is order in the disorder.
All right, now.
The disorder has been ordered. Things that are seemingly out of place are not out of place. They are placed into sequences for purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Everything that we see, that we encounter, is for purpose. Another one is frames. By the way, if those that are watching or listening, you go to website www.gracegospelministry.com or .org, and you go into our audio section. There is an icon there, and you click on it, and this document come up. You'll be able to follow us as you listen or as you view the webcast. Frames, enclosed border. Structures is for containing defined surroundings. It is what we view through our eyes and what our brain waves pick up and that sends communication to us. This is all in the physical vernacular of things. And of course, when we look into the Word of God, we are told that these are not the things that we are prioritizing or looking at. That what we are looking at is not seen through that medium. What we are looking at is only seen through the Word of God. So we have adopted the saying, and we are continuing to convey that to you. Repeat after me. It's not in the seeing.
Not in the seeing.
It's in the saying.
It
is not what we see, it's what God has said. And if what we see does not align with what God has said, we basically are not prioritizing, or are not looking at. We are not hopefully mesmerized by the things that we see. Another definition, dialogue. Informational flow in exchange of ideas of discussion. So all things that are happening, the entity of all things, basically are there, and they are in the form of a dialogue. It's informational flow for purpose. Everybody say purpose again. Then the word grid is a network system of associations or groups arranged for representation. Last week we talked about what we call virtual reality, which is not reality at all. Virtue is that which represents something to you for the sake of your mind's basically grasping that and reacting to it as though it is a reality, but it's not. The difference between what is virtual and what is real. And so as we look at this, we see the word impression, dealing with feelings, ideas, notions, our senses, our thoughts, the effects that they have on us, the influences that they have on us, and what it does to our consciousness. So all of this is summed up in the matrix. Everybody say the matrix.
The matrix.
Visual representation or indication in grids and are patterns of measurement. What are they there for? For testimonial documentation. And so there's methodology to what most of us perceive in the matrix as madness. And much of it we don't understand. I would say even the majority of it we don't understand. And we said this doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It means it doesn't make sense to us. There's nothing that goes down in the universe that God doesn't have a purpose for. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, and to the bottom of page 7, where we basically stopped last week. Now, the reason we're going to continue to go through these exercises is because you see, as we look into life and things are happening and things are going to happen. Things are going to happen.
Amen.
Many of them are going to bring us discomfort.
All right.
Some of them will cause us much trepidation. Some of them will frighten us. Men of God's people are depressed this morning. Because they're looking into the matrix and what they're seeing is causing them to be depressed. I think of the scripture that speaks that the time will come when men's hearts will faint. They will have heart attacks because what they're viewing in the matrix is going to be too much. But there is given unto us stabilizing message of what God has done for us and who we really are in Him.
Yes.
That more,
yes.
I said that more than account than what we see.
Mm-hmm.
He who is in us,
mm-hmm.
He is greater than what is in the world. What God has done for us is greater than whatever we face out there. Who we are in Christ is more impactful and greater than who we are in these bodies and what we go through. And what we go through, it is temporary. It is quick. In comparison to our position as sons of God in the body of Christ forever. 100 years is 1,200 months. Is 36,500 days. I did a little calculating on my calculator last night. And we have 60 seconds cycles that constitute a minute. We have 60 minutes cycles that constitute an hour. So you take 60 times 60, that's 3,600. You divide that, which gives you the number of seconds in an hour, 3,600 seconds, and you divide that by 24. And then divided that by 365. So in a year's time, you have some 30 million, over 30 million seconds. Now, if you break that down into nanoseconds, the portions of a second. This is the frame. These are the frames that are set up as God has, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, that is, He has created time. But our problem is we look at time as some entity of itself that's moving. Time is no more an entity than space. And so we have time-space frames, and this is why we went through some of the definitions this morning. And in each nanosecond, there's a frame there that has everything that is happening in the universe at that particular point, of which God put all of this in place in eternity. Through Him speaking it.
That's it.
And what is happening is our conscience is moving through these frames.
Glory.
There are trillions of them. If I were to take the number of seconds in a year and multiply it times 7,000 years, that is the time of recorded history, you've got some 200 and some trillion seconds. And then they have to be broken down into nanoframes. And everything that is happening in each individualized frame was set there for God. Listen
yes,
to me.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Was set there by God for purpose.
Right.
The accident you had.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had just done this, that wouldn't happen. That was set in the frame. That couldn't be anything else that happened. You say, if I had done this that day, if I had done that, this wouldn't have happened, and so forth and so on. And so we beat ourselves up. You know, I walk to the corner and say, well, should I turn left or right? Well, I turn right, go two blocks, boom, somebody comes in and sees you. If I had turned left, that wouldn't have happened. No. There's only one way you could have turned, because it was set in the frame in eternity. I said, Preacher, you're crazy. No, as we go through the scriptures and I think in the Bible study, Tuesday night, I should have said Wednesday night, we went through the essence of that through the scripture that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, these that according to creation, these things were, the ages were placed there. They were placed, who placed them there?
God.
God. How did He place them there? Through a saying. He said it. That's it. It existed before. It's always there. There's no difference between A.D. 40 and 1940. There's no difference between 1940 and 2040. I probably won't be around. It doesn't matter. It's there. It's amen. And what God has done, He has placed our conscience into And they're moving into the matrix, and they're moving through these frames, and that's what the matrix is made up. All of these nanosecond frames, trillions upon trillions upon sectillions upon them, that are there, and our conscious move through them. You know, we would say, time flies. No, time doesn't move at all. It was set there. What's moving is our conscious. It moves through all of these frames. And in each frame, there's something that God has placed there for purpose. And if you don't know that, you're going to be sitting somewhere really, really, really dissatisfied with life. I'm not saying you got to like what's there. Amen. We're going to go through a scripture this morning. Also, we're going to go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Start getting that together. And hey, you know what? What are we going to do, even if it doesn't make sense to me, if we go into this word and there's something there, and that's what's there, we're going to preach it. Even if it doesn't make sense. If that's what it says, then that's what it is. Because we're going by the saying, even though if it doesn't make any sense in the scene. And this is why Paul could be sitting in jail and say, now why am I in jail? Here the Lord gave me a dispensation. Knowledge that was hid for generations. And I'm sitting here in jail. I need to be out spreading this thing. I'm sitting here in jail. Why do I have this infirmity? Why are my countrymen and kinfolk against me? They should be helping me. Not doing things to hurt me. Why? Paul said, why am I sick? He went to the Lord 3 times. The Lord moved this thing. And God answered. Said, my grace is sufficient. Through your weakness, you're going to do more in your weakness than you could ever do in your strength. In other words, Paul, you're going to do more with your infirmity than you could ever do, amen, if you were the picture of the Board of Health, because I have arranged it way that way and placed it into the matrix for the purpose that I'm going to get glory out of this thing. And these are the things we need to know. Now, let's finish up that passage first in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And remember last week and the week before we were there, amen, and it speaks the fact that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, you notice, by faith. Everything that we perceive is what? By faith. Not through the medium of eye. Through the medium of faith. Faith deals with what God has said. Thank God. Our eyes deal with the things that we see. Right. Verse 18, read that.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse. King James. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is a breadth. And length, and depth, and height.
Verse 19.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge.
You see that? We get to the Greek, we'll really break that down. This is about being able to view life in the essence of what God has arranged for purpose in our lives, and walking in the joy of knowing who He is. And the essence that our lives are about more than the things that are around us. Now, that's what's written here. That might not make sense why I see it, but that's what's here. And this is what we're going with. What's the purpose of that? That you what?
That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Fullness of God, the complete. Let's go to the Greek there, in verse 18. Everybody got it. Say amen. Follow along if you don't have your interlinear.
Ephesians chapter 3, 18th verse, interlinear Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
In order that ye may have strength.
Okay, basically that you may have, haven't had strength because you have there a subjunctive aorist. We went through that last week. And it is attached to have the word katholaveste, which is translated apprehend or comprehend. It is an aorist what? Infinitive. And so you have the two together, and what he's saying is all of these things have been arranged for certain ones to see and comprehend as we go through. But that in the final analysis, read the other part, with what?
That you may just apprehend with all the saints.
Stop. Here Paul is referring what is knowable in the essence of eternality. That in the consciousness of eternality, there's no guessing. God has given revelation and understanding of everything that he is doing and his purpose for it. And saints used to sing the song, we'll understand it better what?
By and by.
By and by. Well, that's speaking from the standpoint of where they are positioned right now. Here Paul is telling you that it's already there. In the essence of where you're going, you're already there. And all of this knowledge and understanding, and there won't be anything but joy and peace and
Amen.
Celebration
Amen.
Of all that you've gone through.
That's right.
Amen. And we will give God the glory because it has now become apparent. And all of these things that we went through as we moved through matrix, as we moved through those nano trillions of frames, amen, God had purposed all of this for his glory. Oh, give him a praise this morning.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Every time you wept.
Yeah.
Every time you cried.
Amen.
Every time you were disappointed.
Yeah.
Every time you were hurt,
oh, Lord. Come on.
God had purposed it,
yeah.
And it was moving toward what? His glory.
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, right? Let's finish that up, Elder.
You may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and death.
Now, and verse 19?
Verse 19.
And
to know
that... What is that, Brother Deacon? That's an aorist infinitive. To know having known. What?
To know the excelling knowledge...
Excelling
knowledge. Love.
The excelling knowledge. The knowledge that exceeds everything that's around you now. God will cause some of us to understand what's going on. And he has. Paul was one. This is why he could be set in prison and write, rejoice. And I repeat, rejoice. Rejoice. And I repeat, rejoice. What is that to rejoice about? You're incarcerated. And they're sitting there plotting to kill you. Eventually did. What is there to rejoice about? All the things that went down. The excelling knowledge. Everybody say excelling knowledge. Read.
The excelling knowledge, love of Christ.
Everybody say love of Christ.
Love
of Christ, the love—that is the bottom line. To have the love of Christ, the love of Christ is eternal. The relationships that we have as we move through are assigned earthly relationships for a definitive period.
Yes.
I get in trouble with this sometimes, but we're gonna go with the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Earthly relationships are temporary.
Yeah.
The relationship that we have now with each other, and I love every one of you, but they're temporary.
Amen.
As each one of us are taken out of the matrix,
right,
that ends that relationship.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But of course, there is a greater relationship.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
We are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're sons of God, heirs of God. Mm-hmm. Heirs of that which belongs to God. That's eternal. The love of Christ. In other words,
yes,
we cherish these relationships, but there is a greater relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Which helps us to endure the fact that these earthly relationships are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
They're transient.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At some point, they're broken. I think of my dear mother.
Mm-hmm.
Really loved her.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that day.
Glory.
The morning I got the phone call. And from home in Florida. They told me she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
She was gone. The knowledge that we have,
yes,
says that was placed upon the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
At certain points,
mm-hmm,
you will be taken out.
Absolutely.
And then others will grieve for you.
That's right. That's right.
And then at some point,
mm-hmm,
they will be taken out.
Yeah.
And then others will grieve for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we must understand is the essence of life, the only hope, is eternal life and eternal relationship,
uh-huh,
that is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we're just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul is saying. These are the things that God has caused some of us to comprehend.
Yeah.
Now, let's go through, look at page 7. At the bottom, the grace scriptures actualize functionality. The grace scriptures actualize functionality of measures of the matrix. What is actually? Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:18 states that you may be, and we have exegeted all of this, so we're going to just run through it right quickly. That you may be, having been fully able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. We have a conjunction there, enom, that's rendered that. Has the subjunctive mood there, of course, and aorist tense. It speaks of a completed probability, and it connotes God's express purpose. You know, you can deal with a thing a little better as you understand it. Most things frustrate us because we don't understand them. And once we come to understand them, that is the beginning of healing. That is the beginning of not only coping with it, but excelling in it.
Glory to God.
That is the beginning of moving through with confidence. And who is that confidence in? It's in God. It's in what God has said. Many things that happen in life. They hurt us to our hearts. And then there are some that would say, why would God allow this? Why would... Time someone came to me and talked about, my mother was a good woman and all these people walking around here evil. Why would he take my mother? He said, it's your mother. At some point, he's going to take you out of the matrix. And we shouldn't ever look at it as punitive. Nobody argues about being evicted from a shack if there is a mansion down the street waiting on you. Because we don't think that way, because we're in this microcosm and we think our little world is the world. Everything has a purpose. And the thing is, do we trust God? Do you trust God? Do you really trust God to do His will? That's where, that's real trust.
Yes. Thank God.
Faith is not so much about trusting God to do what we want, but trusting, amen, that what He has done is the best thing that can be done.
Glory.
Now that's real faith.
Amen.
Jesus said, Lord, in the Gethsemane, if there is another way to do this. But he said, nevertheless, what?
Not my will, but thine.
Your will is done.
That's right.
And giving us an example.
That's right. I will
have done. It's done.
Done.
That thing is already done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's done. And God would give you the strength to endure it.
Amen.
In fact, He will cause you to triumph in it. Maintaining the flow of the context of the previous antecedent verses, the passage is that Christ may live, having lived in the hearts of His people, and through the faithfulness of God, in Him having imparted spiritual knowledge or comprehension to designated ones. God doesn't give this knowledge to all. And our focus falls on the fact that we're those that haven't been rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. Of looking beyond time.
Yes, sir.
And seeing where you are in Him.
Yes.
Versus where you are manifestly positioned in testimony.
Amen.
His the statement of this verse is that you may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints the extent of God's comprehensive grid for His beloved. What He has set in each one of those frames for you. To comprehend it and to thank Him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Note we have a Greek verb there which is rendered fully able, is derived from ek and eskil. It denotes the ones having been pre-capacitated. That is, ones maybe having been highly capable and abundantly able to having comprehended all the ramifications of God's eternal workings in and of His divine decree. Here we have an infinitive. Kapalaveste. It is rendered comprehend. It is derived from kata and lamvano. It literally denotes to take or to hold down. Hence, those that may be manifestly capable of intellectually grasping. You know, that word literally means to hold down. You sometimes you're trying to get something in and you finally understand. You say, "Oh, I got it down pat now." Here, I got that thing held on and locked in the place. I know what it is, and it ain't going to trouble me no more. How do you think Paul stayed in prison with all that going on and didn't lose his mind? In fact, he's writing and encouraging the saints of God. And he writes, he said, "I'm not a prisoner. I'm not a prisoner of this cell and these bars. So I'm a prisoner of Christ." So what this speaks of is being manifestly capable, intellectually grasping, mentally laying hold, and understanding with all the saints the enlightened aspects of the extent of God's actualized decree. This is defined in the best quadrangle with what is prevalent in transition, and here they have these variants here. Entities, these dimensions, I should say, breadth, length, height, and depth. Statement that you may be having been fully able to, having comprehended with all the state. It conveys our growth and development of testimony in the body of Christ. As we view the essence of eternal spiritual actualization. Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
Spiritual.
Spiritual.
Actualization. Again, eternal,
spiritual
actualizations. These things are complete. Those of whom such blessings haven't been bestowed in this encyclical pistol together with all saints are, and having been caused to abundantly comprehend the limitedness provisions of Christ in eternality. All things are in place. All things are in place. You've gone through buildings sometimes and they say, "Excuse the inconvenience. Construction progress in place." As we go through life, comprehend all the inconveniences because all is in place.
Amen. Yes.
In the completed aspect.
Thank you.
Of the finality of things.
Amen.
That resides not in the matrix, but in eternality.
Glory to God.
This is what the scripture is teaching us. And I know while you're going through it, you say, "Well, I don't need it. I want this thing to change." I wish it was another way.
Yeah.
I've been there, I've done that. And on any given day, I'm doing that. Then the Word of God comes along and it gives a comprehension, an awakeness.
Yeah.
A light shines. And it takes us out of the things that are around us.
Yes.
Into the essence of the gloriousness of the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
That are far beyond,
far beyond
what I'm presently going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to understand while I'm going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's tough as we're going through it. But our lives are ordered.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the essence of it is that God loves us.
Amen. Amen.
And the basis of it is that this is what I have for you. The eternal workings of God were actualized and oriented in His divine decree. They are thus complementary testimonies and manifestations of God's eternal plan will and purpose, exhibiting the mastery of his power and wisdom, which he will in the end display to all according to Ephesians 3:10. There will be a point of revelation to all. And though we can't see it now, we will say, oh my God, aren't you great?
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glorious?
Hallelujah.
Hence, originality of all creation and operations reside within the ingredients of the aforementioned consistencies. Let's go again. Breath, length, height, and depth. Now this is spiritually discernible. The big picture. Everybody say the big picture. And realistic sight of existence. Everything comprising our memorial trip through the time capsule. It encompasses collection of tribute trinkets. Even occurrences that feature the so-called habitually misconstrued exhibitions of random impressionisms, the actual manifest adventures, historically solely in the sense of eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions.
Eternal intentions.
Say it again, eternal intentions. Everything. God is not a random God. And neither is anything left up to any man.
No.
What about all of the people that are starving in third world countries and so forth and so on? Then some have come out with the humanistic reasoning, oh, there can't be a God for all of that to be happening. And see, what our focus is what we see in the diverse frames. When the actualized essence of the final product is in God's decree.
Yes. Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everybody say the big picture. Follow this. Even the occurrences that feature the soul habitually misconstrued exhibitions of random impressions are actually manifesting ventures historically solely in the sense of eternal intentions. Scripture research in the gospel of grace exudes successful finality of all having been enlisted in the limited communications of mankind's limited ability due to human depravity, yet the extolling of God's unlimitedness. The final product. Everybody say the final product.
Final product.
You know, sometimes when you're doing construction, and I have worked in construction, you have to do some demolition to make improvements. Some things have to be taken out. Many things have to be thrown out to get to the final product. And a person walking through that at time, they would just say, baby, ooh, this is chaos. But what God is allowing some of us to see through the word, he's allowing us to see the blueprint. So, ooh, this is going to be beautiful. The final analysis of it. Follow this in the last paragraph on verse page 8. The extremes of antithetical entropies or disorders, they don't preclude accomplishment of God's purpose according to the pleasure of his will. Neither the manifested ages of chaos nor the assaults of conflicts are ever a barrier to his power and wisdom and innocence. Hence, what must be comprehended is what are measured in view of God's. Here, we break it down, that first word is platos, that they have rendered it breath. It denotes the uttermost of God's actualized intent or purpose.
Yes.
Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Everything that is happening It is controlled by God's purpose.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Which is only comprehended by faith.
Yes, amen. That's right.
And that faith said, God, whatever this thing is, you're in control, and I know, amen, that you love me. Let's stop there a minute. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And we'll conclude there today, and I guess I'm not through with this. I'll be back next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now you know, chapter 4, he talks about what we call the rapture. And straighten those Thessalonians out, those at Thessalonica who had said that it had come and gone and we're missed out. He lets them know and he puts things in order. I don't have time to go through all of this. But then he moves up to 5 and talks about the times and the seasons.
Yes.
And even the end. Day of the Lord. Verse 3 says, and when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Now to get to the end of what God has in the final analysis, you're going to have to go through the stormy places. You're going to have to go through the desolate places sometimes. You have to walk through the rocky byways sometimes. Sometimes you're going to have to cry. Sometimes your heart is going to be broken. But always remember you're on a journey and there's something that's complete that awaits you. God has a design to make it for you to dwell in and live in forever. Oh, no. 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 This isn't the essence of life. These are the testimonies that are placed there to the end of God's glory. Your life is eternal life.
Amen.
The only hope we have is an eternal hope.
Yes, Lord.
And then he talks about in verse 4, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you. He's talking about, he's letting them know that all of the terrible things that to befall and that basically that those things are not there to annihilate us. Verse 6, he said, watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Those that sleep in the night, and those that are drunken in the night. But let us be sober. Then he speaks of, and I've heard this preached here and also other places, Ephesians, breastplate, helmet, the hope of salvation. That means how we protect our minds to the essence of God's word. Bottom line, verse 9, he has not appointed us to wrath. But we have obtained salvation through Christ. Our end is not destruction. Our end is peace and joy. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about.
Amen.
And so, in verse 18, read that. I'm going to have to jump. Time is sort of got away from us here. He gives, and he moves down to verse 18, and he gives some maxims. He gives some principles.
Yes, Lord.
He gives some comforting information here.
Yes, indeed.
And here's one in verse 18 that have baffled me in times past.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Read that verse 18. Everybody got 18, read it.
Hummer.
Read.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the 18th verse.
Mm-hmm.
In everything give thanks.
Uh-huh.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
First Thessalonians, again.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 5, verse 18 in the interlinear Greek. Mm-hmm. In everything give thanks.
In everything, here you have the Greek word there, pandi. And you notice, Brother Deacon, it has the absence of the definite article.
Right.
So basically, that we literally read, in each and everything. What did it say?
In each and everything, give thanks.
Stop. Doesn't make sense, does it? Now understand here that first word in that verse is epsilon ni, in. He didn't say for everything give thanks.
Nope.
In everything give thanks. While you are going through it, give thanks. This doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, to our depraved human mind. I mean, y'all be honest. That doesn't break sense. You can think about some things that you've been through and some things you're going through, and here it's telling you to give thanks. But it didn't say give thanks for it. It said give thanks in it. While you're in it, give thanks. Now, this is not true. Tear this out and just push that. Because that doesn't make sense. And the second part is even harder to comprehend. Read.
For this will of God in Christ Jesus in regard to you.
This is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, in each and everything, give thanks. For this, the will of God in Christ Jesus regarding you. Well, that can't be God's will. You cannot walk by sight.
Amen. Amen.
You must walk by faith.
Amen.
I can remember some years ago when I first came into the fellowship with the congregation over at the church over on Oakland many years ago. That was many, many years ago. They used to have testimony meetings at night, on Sunday night. This is when people used to go back to night service on Sunday. And I remember Mother Nellis, our Mother Nellis is with us now. God bless us whenever we are able to have her in our midst. She stood up and she was praising God for all of the trials and troubles she's going through. I'm sitting there as a young man, and I said, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. These people are crazy. That's what I'm sitting there, and that's what I'm translating. These people thanking God for tough times. I'm joining the wrong congregation. This doesn't make sense. But she was speaking out of this passage. Not so much for the problem, but in the problem, what I'm learning in the problem, amen, and what the problem is processing and drawing me closer and closer and closer to the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
I thank him for it.
Yeah.
It's hard right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on,
it's tough.
Yeah.
But God's got great and glorious things in store for you.
Yeah. Yes,
And God help us to look above the things that are around us. The daily challenges of our lives. The disappointments that we view. That we break out of the microcosm of saying this is it and this is all it is. But there's more than this. When I was small, the saints used to sing, there's a bright side somewhere.
Thank God. Then
they used to say, I'm going to keep on till I find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
Hallelujah.
Somewhere. There's more peace somewhere. But here the word of God comes to tell you that as you look into the essence of God's decree, you can have this joy and this peace as you walk through the trials of life and the things of life. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, don't you just love Him this morning? Don't you just love Him this morning? But we've got to learn to trust God. Another song, What a Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
What a joy to man.
Glory be to God.
Lean
yes.
on the everlasting arms of God. What a blessedness.
Yes.
What a peace of mind.
Yes.
Leaning.
Yes.
Can you say leaning?
Yes.
Can you say leaning?
Yes.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. Can you say safe? Can you say safe? Can you say safe? Safe and secure from all harm. Why? Because I'm not looking into the matrix and depending upon what I see, but I look into God's decree, the essence of actualization, and I'm saying grace and peace. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.